A blessed Feast of the Transfiguration to you all. It's a marvelous day, and there's much to unpack in this gospel. And I think it helps to start by looking how the story is framed. So what comes before and after. And so right before, Jesus proceeds to prophesy that he will be crucified and will be resurrected after 3 days. And Jesus tells his disciples that to be a true follower of him means to take up their cross and imitate him. And so it's essentially like telling your best friend that he's going to be murdered by the electric chair or lynched by a mob, and that the only way you prove that you're a close friend with him is that you're going to die like him, which is understandably upsetting, and that's why the disciples are a bit miffed and upset. And then, as we heard in the gospel, Jesus takes his closest friends, his most intimate friends, Peter, James, and John, and he reveals that he is God himself. Jesus is God himself dwelling among them, and he shows them his glory, and it's called a theophany. That's the technical term. Literally, Theo, God, and then Fanny, to bring to light, which they saw a lot of. And it was so intense, the glory of God was so intense that they fell on their faces. It was so intense. And they came down from the mountain, and then Jesus proceeds to tell them again that he will die. And understandably, the disciples are upset and disturbed by this. And the church, even in the calendar, 40 days from now, we will celebrate the exaltation of the cross on September 14th. So even the church, God, Jesus, is telling us that God's glory is framed around the crucifixion, around the cross. And this seems like a bit of a paradox, right? How can the glory of God be death? Like, this is a very strange juxtaposition to put these two things together, because when you think of glory, dying by being lynched or by being electrocuted is not really what you normally think of. And that's precisely what the church is presenting to us. And crucifixion, just to paint a picture of it, it was honestly the perfect form of torture, the most painful way to die that the Romans had confected. And it was only reserved for the most vile of criminals, for serial killers, traitors, seditionists, terrible people like that. And so you can understand the disciples being upset. And that really is the mystery, though. That's the mystery we're looking at today. How does God manifest his glory? Through Jesus' surrender of his life on the cross. And it makes me honestly think of a hymn. The hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." And it goes something like this. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, my soul." So this hymn was written by Horatio Spafford. And Horatio was a good, faithful Christian man, a hardworking man. He had 5 children and a wife in Chicago, and he was a successful real estate investor and an attorney. And he sadly lost his only son whenever his son was 4 years old to scarlet fever. And later, that same year, the great Chicago fire struck and wiped out pretty much the entire city of Chicago. And with it, all of his hard work was just gone up in smoke. And so, needing some reprieve, some holiday, he decided he was going to they were going to go to England on holiday. And so he had some business to attend to. And so he sent his wife and his 4 children ahead. Well, while his wife and children were on a ship crossing the sea, tragedy struck again, and their ship was struck by another ship, and it sunk. And a day later, Horatio received a telegraph from his wife that said, "Saved alone, what shall I do? Saved alone, what shall I do?" And immediately he boarded the first ship to England to be with his wife. And as he was crossing the sea, the captain called him over and said, "We believe this is the spot where the last ship went down." And his heart was overcome with grief and sunk to the watery tomb where his daughters laid. And that very night, he composed this hymn in the midst of such tragedy and being so grief-stricken. A hymn that is so full of hope. I think that's the answer. That's the answer to this despair, this tragedy, because we really have two options when we're faced with something. When we lose, we realize that we're not in control of our lives. We could look at it and say, "I give up." Give up to the hopelessness and just wallow in despair. Or we can pray, "Oh Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything." And that's so important to remember, that God is always with us. He never abandons us. I mean, those are his last words at the end of the Gospel of Matthew when he says, "I am always with you. I am always with you." And so that's my invitation this week to you all, is to make this your prayer. And the good and the bad times, right? Life is a mixed bag of good and bad. And to know God is always with us. He is always present, even whenever we don't feel it. Just like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't necessarily feel God's presence, but he knew it was true. And he prayed to his Father and he said, "Let your will be done and not my own." And so we can pray this week with every breath, "Oh Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Oh Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything."